Will, are you ready to receive today? Are your ears open today? And I want to talk about a very, very important message today. And as a matter of fact, it's more important than probably what we can imagine. But it's called Choices About Voices. Choices About Voices. I heard of a pastor recently committing suicide a week or so ago. He was only 51 years old. And someone asked me why I thought that happened. I said, it's very simple. He listened to the wrong voice. I said, he listened to the wrong voice. Now, that's an extremity, but every day we have a choice of what voices we're going to listen to, and it's very important. And I'm going to tell you something. It's so easy to be deceived. So easy to be deceived. Actually, Jesus was talking to the disciples one day, and he was telling them that how he was going to have to be crucified and what God's plan was for his life. And Peter actually got Jesus aside and actually rebuked Jesus. The Bible says he rebuked him. And I think that's found in Matthew 16. You don't have to turn there, but in fact, I know it is. I think it's verse 23. And Ashley, you got Matthew 16, 23. Can you put that up there for me? We're going to throw that in. Hopefully that's where I want to go. And Jesus actually rebuked Peter. Here's what he said. He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." Huh? He said to Peter. He said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." Well, how would you like Jesus to tell you that? Here was someone that traveled with Jesus. Man that loved Jesus, even pulled out his sword, cut a guard's ear. And here Peter pulls Jesus aside and tries to tell Jesus, listen, something contrary to what Jesus had said. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you care about the things that be of..." Listen, you don't care about the things that be of God, but you care about the things that be of man. What happened was Peter listened to the wrong voice. And I want to start out by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 10. "There are, as it may be, so many kind of voices in the world, and none of them are without significance." And it's imperative that we learn to listen to the voice of God, especially in the day that we're living in. Because number one, if you listen to the wrong voice, and boy, Satan's subtle, he'll lie to you. Oh, he'll tell you in church, so-and-so don't like you. And some of you fall for it. Somebody will forget to hug you, or they'll walk by you and they're so busy, and all of a sudden, they must be mad at me. The devil goes, "Oh yeah, they're mad at you, all right. Oh, they're really mad at you." When that person has no idea, come on now. Why? Because you heard the voice of the enemy. And not only it's imperative that we learn to listen to the right voice, because if you listen to the wrong voice, number one, you're going to find yourself acting out that voice, or you're going to find yourself speaking that voice, and it's going to get you in trouble. Come on. Amen. The enemy's working overtime to get people of God to believe his lies. And Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. Listen closely, church. The enemy's very, very subtle. He's been doing it for a long time. He knows that if you listen to his voice, that you eventually act out what you hear. Adam and Eve disobeyed what God had commanded them not to do because Eve was deceived by listening to the voice of the enemy. Look what the devil told her, Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. "The serpent said to the woman, 'Oh, you shall not surely die.'" Because God had told Adam and Eve, "Listen, you can eat every other fruit of the garden, but don't eat of this one. If you eat of this one, you're going to die." He was talking about spiritually speaking. "Oh, no. For God knows that in the day you eat, your eyes will be opened and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." See, Satan lied to Eve and she took the bait. She saw that the fruit was good. He dangled it in front of her. And she said, "Oh, no, God saw, oh, no, God didn't really mean that." Let me just say this. God means everything he said in his word. Get that straight right now. And he's not going to change his word for you or I or anybody else. Come on now. And it's very important that we listen to the right voice. People, this is just a fact, that's all. People stay sick for years because they've been lied to about healing. Come on, people stay sick for years because they've been lied to about healing. Oh, healing's done away with. Oh, look at so-and-so over there. They're such a good Christian. And if God doesn't heal them, what makes him think he'll heal you? He is very, very, very subtle. And when you listen to that voice, all of a sudden, the healing is going to be shut off, and you're going to live your entire life in sickness and in pain when you don't have to. People live powerless lives because they've been lied to about the Holy Spirit. Amen. They live powerless lives. Listen, God showed up supernaturally yesterday. I couldn't tell you half what, but I'm standing up there and I could hear the voice of the Lord just speaking through me. I could feel it. But what happened was I was joking around with Terry Coons and Ashley for a while, and, you know, messing around. I thought, man, I better get in the spirit here. It's getting close to time. So I had to go in the back where the lounge was, sat in the corner and prayed in tongues for about 15 minutes and got my spirit ready, you see. Now see, we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't let the devil lie to you and say it's done away with. Come on. The Holy Spirit is very real, and he wants to help you, and he wants to lead you, and he wants to guide you. Amen. People stay mad at God for years. I've seen it. They stay mad at God for years, blaming him for losing a loved one when God had nothing to do with it. They believed a lie from the devil. They listened to the wrong voice. Many of you know people that's mad at God today for something God had nothing to do with, but they listened to the wrong voice. We have choices about voices, and it's very, very imperative that we learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and not to the voice of the enemy. Very, very important. Amen. Instead of living a blessed life, people are living a stressed life because they have no idea that they don't have to. Because of living a blessed life, many people are living a stressed out life because they don't have any idea that they don't have to. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you stay in God's word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Come on. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. Why do you think religion is so dangerous? It keeps good people in bondage all of their lives. And the gospel according to Mark, chapter 7, verse 13. Here's what it said. Jesus said, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many such like things you do. Jesus said, you're making the word of God of no effect. You're nullifying it in people's lives because you're teaching, listen, you're teaching the commandments and the traditions of men instead of telling people what the word of God actually says. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus warned his disciples about this. Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. You know why they're called Sadducees? Because they're sad, you see. It's truth. You're not going to find anybody that's full of religion that's happy. They're going to walk around, man, just looking like crazy people and trying to get everybody to look crazy with them. And they reason among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? They were wrong. Jesus was talking about the leaven of the Sadducees. When Jesus perceived what they were thinking, he said, oh, you of little faith, why are you reasoning among yourselves because you have bought no bread? Don't you understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? He said, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets? And then he goes on to say, how is it, do you not understand, verse 11, I didn't speak to you about bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? In verse 12, here's what I want to focus on. Then they understood how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You must be careful about religious doctrine, because people will lie to you, the enemy will lie to you through the tradition of man and tell you things that God has for you are done away with. And if you believe that lie, listen, life is short enough without having to live it. Come on, we're sadly saved and in bondage and depression and everything else. Jesus warned them about that because he did not want them to be in bondage. He wanted them to be free. John 8, I quoted it. John 8, 31. Jesus said to them which believed on him, if is the biggest two-letter word in the dictionary. If you continue in my word, if you continue in my word, if, not just on Sunday morning, and then all week, you know, just the Bible just lays there. It's time to go to church. Honey, where's the Bible? It's time to go to church. I don't know. Where'd you lay that last Sunday? I didn't go over very big. I didn't figure it would. He said, if you're my disciples, he said, if you continue in my word, you're going to be, that's the only way you're going to learn. And then he said in verse 32, and you shall know the truth when you get in this book, and the truth will make you free. Come on. God wants everybody in here to be free. He wants you to be free of anxiety, free of depression, free of fear. He wants you to walk in this life free of everything until you finally get there. Let me tell you what, Ruth Milliken's free. Praise God. She is free. Hallelujah, she's free. Glory. I can't wait to get to heaven and see them glorified bodies and see the people that's been up there for a long, 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 long time. And just, man, it's just something. And let me just say this, only free people can help other people get free. Amen. That's why it's a matter of life and death to learn to listen to the right voice. And because of the new birth with the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we have the divine ability to hear the voice of God. Amen. Not listen to the wrong voice. Very plainly, John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, listen, he said, I know them. Not only do I know them, but they follow me. He said, they follow me. When you follow him, you won't be led astray so easy. Amen. In the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus uses the command, follow me, more than 17 times. The very first thing he told him when he met him, follow me. I'll make you fishermen. Follow me. Follow me. Follow. Why? Why is it very imperative that we follow him? So we learn to listen to the right voice and not listen to the wrong voice. Because listen, one lie of the devil can keep you in bondage all of your life. One lie. One lie from Satan can break a relationship up forever. Amen. That's why we got to be careful. The voices we listen to. Because especially when we get angry, be careful what you say. That's why James said, let every man be slow to speak and slow to anger. Because out of anger, there's a bad thought going to come, and you're going to say that, and it's going to hinder you for years. Why is it that people remember the bad stuff you said more than the good stuff you say? They have like a memory bank there. You called me a... What? When? 23 years ago. My dad was bad about that. He had a list of everything that everybody ever did wrong to him. We'd be in a restaurant. You see that guy over there? He ripped me off 25 years ago. Dad, forget it, man. God kept him on the planet 2 years longer than he should have been, just so I could get him saved and sanctified and get him ready to go. Praise God for that. He's up there with old Lou right now, brother. You talk about characters. But see, the reason people don't follow Jesus, it requires self-denial. But man, is it worth the sacrifice? Luke 9:23. Here's what Jesus said. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. It's a daily thing. And the reason we have to do it daily, because Satan walks around as a roaring lion, daily putting voices in our head, thoughts in our head that aren't true, and that's why we need to walk with him daily. Amen. How does the enemy speak? Primarily two ways. First of all, through carnal people or lost people. What's a person in the church whose mind's not renewed to the word of God? Listen, and someone that yields his tongue to the enemy. Amen. There's a lot of folks in church that aren't too spiritual. Have you noticed that? Not here now. I'm talking about other places. Nobody here. Maybe somebody watching online, right? You know? Amen. Psalm 1 and 1 and 2. I love this. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be careful who you get your counsel from. Blessed is the man that doesn't listen to the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand and hang around sinners because he might start acting like them. He doesn't sit at the seat of the scornful. But, verse 2, his delight is in the word of the Lord, and in God's word does he meditate in day and night. Come on, help me out, right? Don't get counsel from people that don't even know God. See what the word of God has to say. When I was studying, this came out of me and I shouted it out. So I'm going to shout it out now. And so it must be very, very important. Too many people run to the phone instead of running to the throne when bad things happen. Boy, I only got one amen. No, we want to run to the phone and tell everybody. Or put it on Facebook. No amens. Isn't that the truth? Bad things happen. They run to the phone instead of running to the throne. I love Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Not the phone. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's the only one that can help you. Come on, he's the only one that can give you grace. Jesus shed his blood on a cross for us to have the privilege of coming to the throne. Amen. And when you get there, he's going to lead you to the scripture. He will lead you to the exact scripture that you need at the time, and then he'll give you the grace to go through whatever you need to go through. Why do you think the Milliken family and Diane and why do you think they could lay there for watch Ruth die? She for 2 weeks we watched her die, but God graced everybody for that. Come on, give the Lord a hand. He graced everybody for that. And the people that came there out of their way, just to come and see her before she left, just so she could give a word to them. It might not have been a word they wanted to hear, but she gave him a word, right? If you were living together, she'd tell you, get married. Told my wife, hang on to that man. I'm going to remember that if she gets mad at me, baby. Baby, you remember what Ruth said now? A dying woman ain't going to lie, right? Come on, is she going to tell you the truth? Yeah. After you have heard the scriptures, you believe God's telling you something, don't hesitate to bounce it off of a man or woman of God who you know for sure is living the life. Come on. David Eanes is in Brazil right now. The man's a millionaire. He gives thousands and thousands of dollars into the gospel. He's got 40-some employees. He will not make one decision without calling me and bouncing it off of me. Not one decision. Calls me every day. Well, no. Brother, I believe God's telling me this, but I want to bounce it off of you. I want to bounce it off. What do you think? And then God will speak to me. And then we'll talk about it for about 35 minutes. And he'll say, man, thank you, brother. Why? Because, listen, be careful. You want to get counsel from somebody that's going to point you to the word of God, not somebody that's going to tell you what you want to hear. Come on. Help me out just a little bit. Someone who will point you to the word of God so you'll have confirmation. Proverbs, the wisest man, Solomon, in Proverbs 13 and 20. Look what it says. He that walks with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. He that walks with wise... What's a wise man or a wise woman? Those who are going to point you to the word of God. Amen. Counsel. Those that will tell you the right voice, that will tell you what God wants them to tell you, not what you want to hear. Amen? Amen. The enemy speaks through people. And the second way he speaks, trust me on this one, is through the mind. He speaks through the mind. He'll put thoughts in your mind, and if you listen to them long enough, you'll find yourself acting out your thought life. When you get angry with somebody, he's going to put a thought in your head, and all of a sudden you're going to envision yourself tearing your head off. I like what Diane said. Oh, that was good, that was good, that was good. We have to do what the Word says. And when you get angry and those thoughts come, you know that it's not God. Listen, back off. Get it out of there. He speaks, he puts things in people's mind. That's why the Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. You ever been riding down the road and all of a sudden you'll have a thought and you're thinking, where in the world did that come from? Amen. Satan's a prince of the power of the air. And boy, does he speak loud sometimes in people's minds. That's why we need to be careful. We need to learn to listen to the right voice. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world's way of thinking. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you'll know something. So you'll prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. Amen. Don't allow the enemy to conform you into somebody that God never made you to be. And how he does it, he works on the mind. I've seen so many good people. Oh, I think the Lord's telling me to do this, and I think the Lord's telling me to do that. What do you think? Well, if God's telling you, why are you asking? Come on, hello. And they don't want to live. They want you to agree with them. And if you say, hey, I don't believe that's God, well, they're going to go on to somebody else that'll agree with them. You ever notice that? Misery loves company, doesn't it? Come on, huh? Come on. Yep, yep. A lot of gossip. A lot of gossip. You know, years ago I used to go to a barber, a man, yeah, barber, and back in Oklahoma and different places, Texas. And you talk about gossip in the barber shop. Guys, I don't want to hear about women gossiping. You should have heard them guys. I'm telling you something. Crazy. Now, we go to Shereen. Now, we know there's nothing that goes on in your garage, but we know that it's all righteous stuff, you know. But I mean, yeah, hello. Come on. But you got to be careful. Now, listen closely. You got to be careful. Because the enemy might put a thought in your head that's not true. But you know what? Oh, yeah, but I heard it from a reliable source. My mom used to spread gossip. You're talking about your mom? No, I'm telling the truth. And here's what she would always say. I heard it from a reliable source. I wanted to say, Mom, the devil's not a reliable source, but I was in enough trouble. You ever be careful when you tell somebody something? Because I got to tell you this, but listen, you're the only one I trust. You're the only one I trust. And I know you won't say anything, but I got to tell you this. As soon as they hang up, they get a hold of somebody else. Oh, I got to tell you this. You're the only one I trust. But, hello. And all of a sudden, wrong voices get put in wrong heads. Listen to me. And relationships are ruined. And people's lives are ruined. Why? All because of listening to the wrong voice. We have choices about voices. The enemy wants to change your thought life into thinking like the world system so you'll make the wrong decisions that will affect your life in a negative way. Ephesians chapter 4. Are you listening to me? Ephesians chapter 4. Come on, help me out just a little bit. I get tired of people blaming women for gossip when men are worse. Ladies, come on, it's not even Mother's Day. I'm trying to help you out. It's the truth. Come on, help me out. I used to travel. I put a lot of miles on a lot of vehicles as an evangelist. And like early in the morning, I'd stop by, especially at McDonald's. I don't know why these old fellas like to hang out at McDonald's, but I would stop there and get a breakfast, and I'd be listening. These guys would be talking about everybody in town. I wanted to go over, but I didn't. I wanted to get home safe, and I did. Amen. But Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. This is good stuff. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Why does Paul talk about your mind? Because your mind is different than your brain. Your brain has to do with the physical. Your mind has to do with your conscience, which is spiritual. Your mind stimulates to your brain actions that you are to take. Now listen, you're getting a little lesson here. How do you know all this I study? I'm not that smart, right? Don't say amen. The mind, the word mind is mentioned 95 times in the Bible, the word mind. The word brain isn't even mentioned. This is so important here. So when your mind is renewed to the Word of God, your brain will actually think along the same lines, and when you get a thought contrary to the Word of God, you'll know right then not to listen to it. You'll know right then. That's why Paul said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Amen. Let me ask you this. Why is it when you hear the word cancer, your mind immediately goes to death? Come on. If your mind is renewed to the Word of God, you know what my mind goes to? It goes straight to healing. Come on. It goes straight to healing. It goes straight to healing. That's why Janie Saffel has all those healing scriptures. She wrote down all these healing scriptures. And every time the enemy tries to cause her to sickness or lie to her about her physical body, she reads those healing scriptures. Amen. Amen. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 8, look very clear. Listen closely. This is so important because there's some people that God really wants to bless this year. Some of you, he wants you to start your own business. He wants to get ways to you that to prosper you. Don't let the enemy talk you out of what God wants to do in your life. Come on, help me out. Don't let the enemy lie to you and say it can't be done. Cancer is not a word. If God has given you a vision, I don't care what it is. Listen, be careful who you talk to about it. And if you know it's God, don't let the devil lie to you. Well, where's the money coming from? There's no shortage in heaven on anything. If you honor God in your finances, he will honor you. Come on, he has to. He has to. He's not a man that he should lie. So keep your mind renewed to the Word of God. Be careful what you listen to and be careful who you listen to, because Romans 8, 6 and 7, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, and all that is an unrenewed mind, a fleshly mind, is an enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither can it be. Amen. To be carnally, listening to the voice of the enemy will never produce life, will never produce peace. Never. Amen. It just never will. Amen. Listening to the God. Paul wanted to teach the members of the Corinthian church so many more things than what he was teaching them. He wanted to go on. And you know, he said, we need to go further past the laying on of hands and everything else. He said, but I tried to talk to you as spiritual, but I couldn't. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, look at the verse 3 verses. This is so important. He said, I, brethren, could not even speak to you as spiritual. And this is the Corinthian church, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for you weren't able to bear it. Neither yet are you now able, for you are yet carnal. Why? What were they doing? Wherein there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are you not carnal and walk as dear men? Paul said, listen, he said, you're listening to the wrong voice. You're arguing with one another. There's envy going on. Listen, he said, and I'm trying to teach you more. I'm teaching you things that God wants to do for you, because listen, God's got a plan and a purpose. And listen, God has no plans for anyone to fail. God has no plans for anyone to fail. When he put you into that mother's womb, he didn't say, okay, this one's going to fail and this one's going to succeed. That's not God. He said he has, Jeremiah said he has plans to prosper you. Come on. He has plans to bless you, to give you a hope in your final outcome. I have never met a 98-year-old woman so blessed as Ruth Milliken. She, even when she, we were talking when she was dying, she says, Pastor Jeff, I wish I had $1 million. I said, what do you need? She goes, I don't need anything, but I'd just love to give it away before I die. How many? Come on now. Come on, help me out just a little bit. I should have said, Lord, bless her right now, the $1 million, so she can give me some before she dies. Praise God. No, I didn't think like that. It was, I don't cry much. I don't cry much. When I do, I'm by myself. We're nobody. I don't know. It's just, I guess it's a man thing. But man, the day she died, when I sat down there, I lost it at the table, kitchen table. And because of being with her and listening to her and holding her hand and just, man, the love of God for two, I stayed there for about, 13 days straight almost. I might have missed one day and 2 weeks because I had things to do. But, and I said, God, if you don't show up for this service yesterday, I said, I'm done. And thank God that I made it through until the final prayer, and then I started losing a little bit. But, you know, the legacy that she's leaving us, and she even mentioned it one time. She said, oh, I want to come to church so bad, but I know I just want to pay my tithes, and I want to come there just because 98 years of living for the Lord. And let me tell you what, she didn't always have it easy. Dairy farmers never had it easy back in the day. And she told me about some of the hard times and everything that they've been through. But all she kept telling me was how good God has been. Listen, we serve a good God. Get that straight. Don't let the devil lie to you. Stop letting the devil lie to you. Renew your mind with the Word of God. Come to church, listen, with the right mindset. Come to church with the right mindset. I remember reading Acts 17 and 11. She's got it up there. Look what it says. When Paul went there, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received, look here, they received the word of God with all readiness of mind. You need to come into the church with your mindset on hearing the word of God. Come on, that's what worship helps me. That's what worship does. And I don't know if Sri hears me or not. I know they do. I'm praying in tongues over here when them guys are worshiping. Why? Because I want to get my right mindset. They received the word of God with all readiness of mind, and then they searched the scriptures daily to see if the preacher was telling them the truth. Come on. Why? Because they wanted to keep their mind renewed to God so they would know if the devil lied to them, they wouldn't listen to the wrong voice. Choices about voices. Praise God. So we know the enemy speaks through people and he'll put stupid stuff in your mind. But how does the Holy Spirit speak? We need to learn to listen to his voice. First of all, primarily through his word. He always speaks through his word. Look here. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and even doctrines of devils. Boy, do we see that in the world today. I mean, listen, I believe in prosperity, but some of them have used that to take people's money and all this. And you want to plant a seed for this and plant a seed for that. And oh, there's 50 people here supposed to give $100 each. They never tell you, okay, we got the 50. Hello. Be careful who you're slickered by on TV preacher. Be careful. Be very, very careful. Are you listening? Be careful. Because the Holy Spirit's saying, be careful. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful. Everything lines up with the Word of God. That's why Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's why it's very imperative that we renew our mind with the Word of God and learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. There's so many voices out there. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said this. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, the Word of God. Romans 15:4, we're going to speed up here just a little bit. Whatever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's why we teach the word. That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let me tell you what, God is always going to speak to you about hope. He's never going to put that negative garbage in your head like a lot of people want to listen to. 1 Peter 2:2. Desire as newborn babies the sincere milk of the Word of God. Why? That you may grow spiritually, that you may grow thereby. God's Word is where I found out who I was in Christ, not who the people said I was. There's people's lives that are destroyed because someone told them they were never amount to anything. They're stupid. They can't learn anything. I mean, I've had people say that the teacher would tell the student, "You're stupid. You can't learn anything." I thought, that's a stupid teacher there. Come on. And what happens? That little kid believes that lie. Come on now. That teacher ought to be fired. I'm glad they're working on the educational system today and get some of them liberals out of there. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Yeah, that's what the teacher told the kid. And see those words that they hear, and all of a sudden, the rest of their life, unless somebody tells them wrong, they're going to think they're never going to make it. I was told growing up that I was going to be dead or in prison by the age of 21. And Steve was trying to help me get there. I'm Steve Williams. Yeah, he was my compadre. Yeah. We didn't know any better, right? Until I got saved. And I read the Bible. I said, hey, I guess I'm not like they said I was. God actually has Jesus loved me so much that he died on the cross for me and went to hell in my place. Come on. That's a man right there now. Come on. Change me. Amen. Psalm 119 and verse 30 said, the entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I've had people come to me. Oh man, I finally see it. I finally understand what you've been. I've been looking at. What happened? The light came on. Huh? The light finally came on. Revelation came. Now I see that healing belongs to me. Now I understand. Praise God. Revelation knowledge came. And when you get that revelation knowledge, you won't listen to the negativity about everybody. Years ago, I spent hours and hours and hours and hours at hospital rooms and waiting for people to get out of surgery and their unsaved relatives. I had to sit with them and all that and listen to all the doom and gloom and making plans to bury them. Their mom died young and their grandma died young and all that negative garbage. And here's what they say. It runs in the family. There was a lot of stuff ran in my family. You know, sugar diabetes killed two of my aunts. Killed them. It ran in my family rampant. It caused one of my aunts to go blind. It crippled one of them. Well, when I got saved, I found out I was a new creature in Christ. I ran it out of my family. Come on. If there's something contrary to the Word of God that runs in your family, run it out of your family. You don't have to put up with it. Don't listen to what the doctors say. Well, you're going to have this. I'm sorry. The rest of your life. I'm sorry. Listen closely. Listen. Thank God for medical science, but they're not the final answer. Come on. They're not the final answer. Go and see what God says. And when you have surgery, thank God for doctors. Listen, pray. We pray that God will lead that doctor's hands. Is Fred Gein in town? Is he here? He's out of town. He went out of town, but never forget God. God gave him a brand new heart. I mean, a brand new heart. I didn't even know his heart was jelly. I had him out here on a jackhammer when we bought this place back here. And his wife would call Mary. I'm so worried about Fred. I said, why is your wife so worried about you being a... He goes, well, Pastor, my heart's shot. He said, I'm disability. He said, my heart is nothing but jelly. I said, well, what are you doing out there then? Man, your wife is going to hate me if I kill you out here, put you on a jackhammer. Well, years ago, he's back in the back, and I think Adam was in the service. So might have even been before that. But I was up there, and God said, tell Fred I'm going to give him a new heart. And God gave him a brand new heart. And the next day, the enemy attacked him. He went for a stress test, and he said, we got to get you to the hospital. We got to do bypass surgery. So I went over with him, and I wanted to find out what was going on because I know what God did. And I sat in the doctor's office. They let me come in, and I saw his heart on a monitor, and the bottom of his heart had brand new muscles in it, He goes, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I said, I can believe this. That's what I told him. Now, so they had to do something with the top of his heart. God put in, I don't know if it's, boom, don't ask me why. I'll ask God when I get there. But I believe this, that God wanted to minister to some doctors. And so the doctor did, and he's never had a problem. So the doctor did the top of his heart. I don't know. He had to put a couple stents or do something in there. I can't remember. But I waited and waited and waited with Mary, his wife, till he come out because I didn't want to leave her in Pittsburgh. I wanted to be there. And, well, one reason I thank God I was there, he was in recovery. And this man, which might have been a man. Oh, he's okay, but as soon as he wakes up, I'm going to give him a bath. I said, you're not touching him. No, his wife will bath him, son. You're not touching him. But that's Fred. He still laughs about it today. Oh, I want a bath. No. That's my church member. Get him. Woo. Come on, I'm telling you right now. Hey, listen, I'll fight for you, all right? But when he came out of surgery, I wanted to meet this young doctor. And I went up to this doctor. I said, my name's Pastor Jeff Lewis. And I said, I just want you to know that we prayed for the right doctor to do this man's surgery. And I mean, he started weeping. He just started weeping. And I want to say, I want to thank you for allowing God to use you to help this man. He just started. I mean, come on, the power of God just. You got to listen. Learn to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Continuing in his word will show us the truth, and the truth would make us free. Amen. And the more word of God I have in me, it'll make it easier to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, which is the right voice. John chapter 14, verse 26. I love this passage of scripture. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And look here, he'll bring remembrance to all things which I told you in his word. He will remind you what the word says. When Diane was angry, Ruth reminded her what the word said. At least she did half of it, right? Praise God for that. I think she's doing better today. Come on. Amen. Amen. The denomination that my wife and I got saved in, man, let me tell you what. They never mentioned the Holy Spirit. They never mentioned healing. They never mentioned anything along those lines. All they did was preach against sin. Sin, sin. That's all they knew. And every Sunday, they would have an altar call either for salvation or rededication. It was a Baptist church. Hopefully, some of them have changed. But that's all they did. They made people more sin conscious than righteousness conscious. Amen. We need to become more conscious of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us than anything else. Come on. We need to be more conscious of Him. In John 14, verses 16 through 20. Is anybody getting anything out of this today? You're not going to listen to the wrong voice. I'll pray the Father. He'll give you another Comforter that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, it doesn't see Him, neither knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And then look what he said here in verse 19. Yet a little while, the world's not going to see me anymore, but you will see me. Why? Because I live, you shall live also. Come on. And in that day, today, you shall know that I am in the Father, you in me, and I am you. Amen. And when He's in you, listen, He will not lead you astray. He speaks through the inward witness. Here's how He speaks, through the inward witness. He'll speak through people, God-fearing people, but He'll also speak through that inward witness. That's why Jesus said in Mark 4:9, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Not talking about this meat hanging on your side of your head. He that has ears to hear, he's talking about inside of your spirit. He that can hear what he's saying, listen, what the Spirit is saying. Amen. Spiritual ears. And I thought about this, 2 Corinthians 4:16, which cause we don't faint, for though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And though Ruth's outward body, listen, even though her body was perishing, man, she was sharp. She held very smart conversations up until she died. Why? Because though her outward was perishing, her inward, her spirit, man, was renewed by the Word of God. Come on, that's what kept her alive. The love and the Word of God is what kept her alive. You can be deaf naturally speaking and still hear the voice of God on the inside of your spirit. Let me say that again. You can be deaf naturally speaking and still learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. Learn to hear His voice so well that you immediately recognize the voice of the enemy when he speaks. Amen? You can do that. You can do that. You can learn. Bankers, let's just take bankers for instance. And I've talked to people that work at banks. And what they do, they have them study American currency. They'll take a $100 bill and they say, we want you to study this thing. We want you to know every little mark on this $100 bill. And then they'll take 50s and they'll take 20s. And the reason they do that is so when the counterfeit shows up, they'll know it's not real. And we need to get to that place with the Word of God, amen, that we need to develop our spirit so much that we know what the Word says, that as soon as the enemy speaks, we'll know it's not real. Come on, and we'll get that out of our head really, really quick, and that'll help us. That'll help us. Amen. Paul talked about carnal mind, but the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. What? But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and any thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You don't have to listen to the wrong voice. Get to the place in your life, listen, where you judge everything by the Word. Bounce it off of people that know the Word, listen, and don't listen to the voice of the enemy, because if you listen to his voice long enough, you're either going to speak what he tells you to speak and you'll get yourself in trouble. Now, come on. Or you'll find yourself acting out. Come on, you'll find yourself acting out what he tells you to act out, and then you'll really, really, really be in trouble. You'll really, really, really be in trouble. Amen? Amen. Thank God this morning we have choices about voices. Give the Lord a hand this morning. We're not going to listen to them. Somebody tells you, somebody don't. Oh, they don't like you. Just go over and give them a big hug. Come on, show the devil you're not going to listen to that garbage. What do I tell you every Sunday morning when I dismiss you? Shake hands with somebody and tell them you love them even if you don't. Come on. That's love. That's faith, right? That's faith in God. Amen. Let's pray. We got people back there keeping our kids. We don't want to keep them all day. But Father, I want to praise you and I want to thank you and I want to give you the glory that no one in this church is going to listen to the wrong voice. We're not going to listen to the voice of the enemy about death. We're going to listen to the Word of God, what it says about life. We're not going to listen to the voice of the enemy that we're going to stay sick. We're going to listen to the Word of God that by His stripes we're healed. Amen? And Father God, I want to thank you in the name of Jesus. And I know in my heart that this is going to be the best year for your people. The best year for our nation that we've seen in years, and the best year for the church house that we've seen in years, and especially the best year for your people, Lord. Your people, Father, who will study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth so they can live the kind of life that you intended for them to live. You said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And we're careful to give you the praise, and we're careful to give you the glory. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. You're dismissed. Amen.